Okay, I think we are recording audio and also recording our slides. So let me officially welcome you. This is Heather Goulihan with the Association of Alaska School Boards, Alaska ICE, and I'm the FEL coordinator for the I-3 grant project. And also,
This is Lori Grassgreen, and I am the director of the Initiative for Community Engagement.
So we are just so pleased, and actually I feel really honored that you're joining us and partnering with us in this endeavor. So I just want to say thank you up front. This is just really exciting. And so in just a minute, we will find out who else is on the call. And just have a quick introduction question for you as we are getting to know each other. And introduction question is, why is culturally responsive SEL of interest to your district? Why were you interested when we started thinking about who might be interested in partnering? So why is it of interest to you? And while you take one moment to think about that, just want to show the map of who is involved in the project. So we'll have a visual image of where you are when you introduce yourself. So if you could introduce yourself with your names and your roles in your district and your school district and where you're actually physically located to just help us visualize where you are, and then tell us a little bit about why culturally responsive SEL is of interest to your district. Anybody?
Are you calling on us, or do you just want us to go?
Let's go.
Okay, this is Sarah Ferenczi. We're in Sitka. We're physically in Sitka because, you know, we're on an island. And Mary Wagner's here. Mary is superintendent of schools, and I'm the co-assistant superintendent. Culturally responsive SEL was of interest to us in Sitka because we were sort of already wanting to move forward on comprehensive K through 12 SEL work, education, and with the ultimate goal, we have had a school board goal for quite some time of closing the achievement gap, and we have sort of recognized that the SEL is our best bet for closing that achievement gap. And we were just joined by Ramon Quevedo, who is our fearless social work intern. He's a paraprofessional in the school district. He's been doing great work with our kids for a few years now, and now he's working on his master's in social work, and we're super excited to have him on board.
Welcome,
so we wrote him into this conference call right away.
Well, Ramon, we're so pleased to have you
bringing
your skills to the project. So thanks so much for joining the project and joining the conference call. So thanks, Sitka.
Mary, is there anything else you wanted to add?
Sarah is always very articulate, but I will just add that we just got word that the Ketchikan decision was reversed yesterday at the Alaska Supreme Court, which we were just doing some research on, means that we won't have to lose funding. We won't have to lose our municipal funding.
Awesome.
So that's kind of what was on my mind right now.
Well, good. I'm glad that's off.
We're doing the wave right now in Juneau.
yeah, exactly. That's but you know, I think that's actually, you know, all the things that go on in a student's mind that sets a condition for learning is one of the reasons why we're really interested in the SEL too. And that was just an example, a living example of how there can be competing thoughts, and so you need to make sure people feel welcome and know how to advocate for themselves and that they're heard so they can get down to learning.
Wonderful. Thanks. That's so important, isn't it? And it's a piece that's often slips through the cracks with all of the other demands and pressures. Yeah. Thanks very much. Carolyn.
Sure. My name is Carolyn Heflin. I'm the Director of Curriculum Instruction for Bering Strait School District. And Bering Strait School District serves as the education for three distinct Native cultures in our area. It's Siberian Yupik, Central Yupik, and Inupiaq people. and we've always made an effort, and especially in my department, that covers the bilingual, bicultural aspects of our students' education. So that's why I'm here today, because we believe that any way that we can pull our students' culture into the instruction makes students more engaged in the classroom learning. And then my counterpart, Carl White, who was unable to join us, he is in charge of the counseling program and our school counselors. SEL is a term not really familiar with me because I'm not in the counseling realm, but it's definitely familiar with me as far as cultural engagement with instruction.
Hey, great. Boy, and that's a huge, huge piece of this project. And, indeed, really, it's a big question nationally, is what does this look like in different contexts, in different cultures, in rural communities versus urban communities? There's been a lot out there from Alaska, from Anchorage, so urban Alaskan community, but how do we, and exactly as you said, it increases student engagement. So what does that look like in small communities? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks, Bering Straits. And I think somebody joined in. I heard the welcoming beep. I'm sorry, yeah. You could not.
Hi, this is Sean from Nome Public Schools.
Hi, Sean. Welcome. We are so glad to have you on the line. In Juneau, we have, I'm Heather Coulihan, and we have Lori Grass-Green here. Hey, Sean. And I'm not sure if you caught Mary and Sarah were talking about Citrus School District, and then I think maybe you joined when Carolyn from Bering Straits was talking a little bit. So
yeah,
we had a welcoming question of why is culturally responsive SEL of interest to the Nome Public School District?
Well, there's a number of different reasons, but I'll try to keep my answer brief. Nome is a very diverse kind of population here, pretty much different than any other place in rural Alaska, probably above, I always say above Kenai. We have, the town population, community population is about 50% white and almost 50% Alaska Native. However, our student population is 80% Alaska Native heritage, and it makes up its Nupiat, Yupik, Athabascan, and many different groups in between. Much like BSSD, we share a lot of their students, so our majority of our students there, predominantly they are Alaska Native. And, come from, various cultures, but it is one, mainly overarching a culture. And SEL there, too. I mean, that's something that we need for the whole student, and something that we've been looking at for a while. So this is just a good timing.
Awesome. Wonderful. And you know what the nice thing about this project is that you started your remarks with saying you would be brief. And the nice thing about this project is we don't have to be brief as we explore this topic.
This is Mary, and Mandy Evans, our special ed director, has also joined us here in Sitka.
Oh, hey, Mandy. This is Lori.
Welcome, Mandy. This is Heather. Sean, just a quick question for you. Were you able – oh, I see you're online. Great. I was going to ask if you were able to access, and I see that you were. So thanks and welcome, everyone. You know, we have we've already used the phrase or the term social and emotional learning. So I just wanted to put the definition that we have been using of SEL, just so we have that common language or that common reference point that we're going from. So as we're talking about social and emotional learning, we're really thinking about children, youth, and adults, because, oh, aren't SEL skills important for adults as well? And that it really goes that they're those skills that are important in life, and since kids' lives right now are school, these are the important skills for school. And it reaches beyond classrooms. And they're really the skills that we all need to successfully manage life tasks, such as a graduation. I love this photo. It really shows the enthusiasm and exuberance of getting successfully to graduation. And I put in a quote from a high school math teacher there just to remind us that as we are thinking about SEL, we're thinking about all grade levels, kindergarten, preschool, through grade 12, and then also thinking about adults and what kind of skill development can we do with adults as well. As we think about those skills that kids need to be successful in life, we can think about it in five different competency areas. So we can think about self-management skills and self-awareness skills really going hand in hand, and social awareness skills and relationship management skills, and then also decision-making skills. And I think this might be a little bit hard to see, but this is CASEL, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, a diagram of what the competencies look like and examples of skills in those competencies. And then what we did as we started thinking about culturally responsive and embedded SEL, we went to the Alaska Native Knowledge Network, and we looked at the skills or the values in Alaska Native cultures across Alaska. And we did some very brief kind of surficial, yeah, just overlay of what we were seeing in Alaska Native values and how they might fit into the competency areas. And this is something that we'll really have the opportunity to explore in detail in this project is what does this really look like? And all three of you talked about why this was of interest to you, that this being really a piece of it is what does SEL look like in communities so kids and families and community feel like, oh, this is familiar. This is not something new or different. This is welcoming. This is familiar. This is something that we already value. So this project will really be going into this in more depth. Quick research piece that we know that with quality SEL instruction, which is another big piece of this project, is what does that look like? We have the outcomes that we all want, and Mary and Sarah and Mandy and Ramon, you guys were talking about closing the achievement gap. So we can see that with SEL, we are getting the outcomes that we want. I just put in one other quote from an elementary teacher who reflects on really seeing community and that sense of connection and kids wanting to come to school. So that's another outcome of this project, is that increased connectedness to school. So you've had a chance, hopefully, to look over the overview document, and we'll be touching on pieces from that and lots of opportunity for questions and clarifying things. We have a graphic that demonstrates or shows the parts of CRESL, which we fondly are referring to the project as CRESL, Culturally Responsive Embedded Social and Emotional Learning. And our circles in the center show the four activity areas that we have. So the four target audiences or the four groups that we're going to be working with. So district is at the center there. And I think that you'll see with the types of activities that they're familiar to you. As we look at, as you've been involved in other grants, as you've been involved in like curriculum reviews and adopting new curriculum, and as new initiatives come into districts, there is this process, whether it's district, school-wide, or whether it's looking at after-school activities, this process of planning activities. And then a process of integrating SEL in this case into policies and procedures and practices. So integrating it into existing things and perhaps creating new ones too. So for example, integrating SEL into the teaching framework. If we're talking about our district circle, if we're talking about our school-wide circle, looking at integrating SEL into positive behavior supports. Professional development. So as we look at district, school, and out-of-school activities, of course, professional development is going to be a big part of the project. How could we expect anybody at any of these, in any of these areas, to be implementing or planning without good professional development? Next type of activity are implementation activities. So as we look at the school area, the school circle, that will look like an evidence-based SEL approach. And out of school circle there, that will be interesting to see how out of school time is wants to align using that SEL approach and bringing it into their work after school. And how do we bring that approach, that SEL approach, to families? So that out of school time. And then, of course, the fourth circle there is that all of this is embedded in cultural processes and practices. So coming to making and having those community conversations that guide what does SEL look like in the community. We, you'll see the birds there that are from the Alaska Native Knowledge Network, and what that really reminds us of, or reminds me of when I see it, is the Alaska Standards for Culturally Responsive Schools, because that's a graphic on the cover of that document. So that's a document that we'll be using as a resource and a tool in this process.
So, Heather, I'm wondering, I mean, maybe you want to move on to the next slide, but I want to, there's a lot to take in here, and so I'm wondering if you want to just give a chance for any questions at this point about activities. So, and then if there's tons, we can, you know, kind of put that in the parking lot till the end.
Okay. Yeah, in this, in my mini lecture here, I've been focusing on that center part, the four center circles, that are our activity areas and our types of activities. So yes, Laurie, thanks for the invitation. Questions about the types of activities involved in the project, questions about the four core activity areas.
Does the circle make you dizzy?
This is Mary, and one question I had is about a needs assessment. Is that going to be part of the process to kind of find out what's already happening in our districts and build from there, or have you kind of already done that in the process of picking us?
Will absolutely be part of the process, yes. That I would say that that's a great example of a planning activity, so an SEL scan to see what's happening right now, yeah.
Great. And Mandy, did you have something?
So, like, just a needs an analysis of mm-hmm. of our current system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's something.
Exactly.
Else.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I know I've said this to some of you. This is Laurie. That in a way, this was a very competitive grant, and I mean, this was a very competitive grant. And in a way, we were slightly surprised that we were funded, although we were very excited and enthusiastic about the project, because it wasn't as neat and tidy as some of the other applications where they're looking at some standard 12-week thing in all parts of the state. We know that everyone has different things in place, both at a district level and even within your districts, that things look really different from school to school or community to community, depending. And so part of this will be kind of making sure we know what's going on and then already and kind of looking at some of those gaps and then figuring out where you want to go from here. And it, although I think we'll be a learning community across the state and that'll be really exciting, I do think everyone will be approaching this in slightly different ways because of the nature of their districts. And I love that we have some of that flexibility in this, so.
Yeah, that's a really exciting part of the project is that we have steps outlined. And again, hopefully the steps feel familiar to you with other grants that you've been involved in or other initiatives. And there's, as Lori said, that flexibility to really explore what those steps look like in individual communities.
Yeah. Other questions?
Yeah, this is Sean. Yeah. This is Sean and No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if this is a good time to ask about like staffing or kind of assistance with staffing.
Yeah, that is a good question, and I think you have that further on in the slides, right? Okay, we're gonna get to that one, Sean.
Sean, that's such a nice lead-in to that. Not to make you dizzy, but the next circle in the graphic that has the supports that come with the grant, as part of the grant, because, of course, we know that none of us can do this without supports. So community dialogue, really partnering with First Alaskans Institute and regional organizations to help facilitate those conversations in the community that will guide how this unfolds. Planning and facilitation support. So lots of support from AASB, from us as we dive into that planning process, starting with that scan, with that needs assessment, and as we go through that process. Professional development, I mentioned how important that is. So professional development, whether that is from AASB, whether that's bringing in other facilitators based on needs and based on topics, and then resources. So that question of staffing. So there is a pot of money that comes with that, what comes with the grant for each district. And we know that that will make the project successful, is having somebody at each district who's coordinating and managing the grant. So
I mean, each district will have a certain amount that's allocated, and that will be in the follow-up discussions because it's not exactly the same in each district because your districts aren't exactly the same, and there's some different numbers of schools that might be participating and things like that. So each district will get a certain amount of funds, and it's up to each district to figure out how they want to use that budget. And it may not be all the staffing that you dream of, be enough for all the staffing that you dream of for this project, but you can dedicate some of those funds to staffing. So, and what we'll do, and Heather will get to this a little bit more, is that we'll have individualized follow-up conversations where we can work out, you know, thinking about how do you want to use your budgets, what makes most sense for you all. So did someone else join or leave?
It's Lauren Burt. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, hey, Lauren. Okay.
Hi. Lauren, welcome.
Okay.
Apologize.
We are in the midst, Lauren, of kind of diving into what does this look like. But before we continue on that, could I give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about where you are? We each introduced ourselves in terms of our districts, our roles, where we are, and why culturally responsive SEL is of interest to the district. So nothing like welcoming you and then totally putting you on the spot.
Well, I'm hoping Bart Maury is on as well.
We have not had a chance to welcome Bart, no.
I emailed and reminded him yesterday, but Bart is the principal assistant superintendent in Heidelberg and is most directly involved. I'm the superintendent for Heidelberg and Southeast Island School District. Prince of Wales Island. Heidelberg School District is where we're going to work with this. There's, I think, about 80 students there this year. And I guess I got most interested in this at an AASB conference in the fall when we were talking about this system. And we've had, you know, I've been with Heidelberg for, I think this is the fourth year. Our behaviors are a persistent issue, and it's kind of the inverse relationship that you would normally expect. It's at the lower grades are where it tears us up the worst. There hadn't been any kind of a preschool thing, so we started a preschool to kind of help, you know, break them to the saddle a little bit. But the time consumed in dealing with behaviors, that, you know, and it's just so traumatizing as a superintendent to think that you got to expel a, you know, an 8-year-old. And we really needed to train our staff in some better way that to deal with these behaviors that, you know, are quite challenging. And we've tried everything we can do in the last 4 years, and we're making some gains, but I believe this will put us over the top, and I'm pretty excited about it. So is that what we were asking for?
It was exactly. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, Lauren, so we have a contingent from Sitka on, Mary, Sarah, Ramon, and Mandy is there. And then we have Carolyn from Bering Straits joining us and Sean from Nome on the call. So
we are in very good company. And, Lauren, if you want to give it a go to get on to the web portion of this, we are looking at some PowerPoint slides. So if, as the conversation continues, if you want to try giving that a go, please do.
I will dabble at it. My skills are pretty minimal, but and I mentioned it on the one on early in the week there next week. I'm going to have to do that just as a call-in.
Well, you know what? That will actually be the same information, so you're welcome to join again if you'd like to hear it again.
I might, since I've missed half already. So, okay, but go ahead. Don't really slow it up for everybody else.
Okay, and this is being recorded, so well, I'll be able to refer back to it, which will be really useful. Okay, so we are moving to the, we've been talking about the supports. We're in the midst of talking about the supports that come with the grant. We talked a little bit about resources, staffing, so the money that comes to districts can be used for staffing. Also to be purchasing materials, SEL materials, that are needed for the approach that's chosen, for training costs if an outside facilitator is coming up, so resources available for that. One of the exciting pieces, well, there are so many exciting pieces. I keep calling each piece the exciting piece, is the...
I'm glad you're enthusiastic, Heather. That's one of your charm points.
Is the after-school support. So really, that is the red circle there, the out-of-school time, thinking about what does this look like and what does SEL look like in after-school activities, whether that's after-school activities, maybe sports, and then circling out to families. I think somebody else just joined. Welcome.
Hi, this is Marilyn Davidson in Kodiak.
Marilyn, welcome. We are so happy to have you joining the call.
Well, I'm...
Kodiak wasn't on the map that we showed because we were considering including a seventh district, so we just are talking to Kodiak. So
I'm just listening.
So, Marilyn, we really appreciate you leaping in. And why is culturally responsive SEL of interest in Kodiak?
Well, certainly, it's of interest in regard to all of our schools, particularly with our small schools and, you know, serving the needs in the community. Also, a real motivator for us is that last year during our strategic planning, SEL was a major focus of our 3-year strategic plan. So we would really appreciate support and partnership in getting that moving and defining that well in the district.
Thanks. Thanks. Marilyn, we also have on the call Carolyn from Bering Straits, Mary, Sarah, Mandy, and Ramon from Sitka, Sean in Nome, and Lauren in Heidelberg.
Very good. Very good. Nice to be online with all of you guys.
Well, we're happy to have you. And Marilyn, if you want to give it a go, trying to get on to the web portion of it, we have a PowerPoint that we're looking at. We're also recording this, so we'll be able to refer back to it as well. But you're welcome to give it a go getting on.
Okay.
And hopefully it's been pretty easy for folks, I think. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So after school support, and we're partnering with the Alaska After School Network as we continue to talk about supports that come with the grant. So that I think that will really be able to move us forward in that red out of school circle there. And it also provides a common language throughout the community of SEL. And then evaluation support, and we are partnering with the American Institutes for Research, AIR, and I have to say, they are pretty nationally known when it comes to research around SEL. They were involved in the study that's quoted all of the time that we quoted here on the research outcomes, so we are pleased to be partnering with them. And so that leads to the, any questions about supports before we move on to what that evaluation supports look like? The next
this
slide.
Is Marian Sick, and I have a question about the after-school support. So we have a 21st century grant, so we're thinking we should probably weave that person in as well as some of our high school activities and athletics, kind of like our activities coordinator. Is that what you're thinking there, or is this, I mean, we want to make sure everything's dovetailed, so.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly it. And already probably, they're probably already involved with the Alaska After School Network to a certain degree. I know that there's a conference that's coming up, and they're going to be annual now, where they're bringing together after, and there's some scholarships and some funding available for it, where they're bringing together after school or out of school time adults, so that they can get these supports, and SEL is going to be woven into those trainings. So we are trying to really weave the pieces together when it's possible in districts.
Great, and we are part of that whole after-school network, the Alaska After-School Network.
Great. So is anyone else on the call involved with the Alaska After-School Network? Anyone know? So it's an opportunity to get, if there are out-of-school time adults and after-school programs that that we can get plugged in, it's a great opportunity to make sure that they know how they can best reinforce SEL skills too. So it's an exciting piece that will work differently for each mm-hmm. district, but it is an opportunity that we have, so we're excited about that.
And I would say, too, that the after-school piece is, again, nationally something that's really being looked at and is of great interest right now. So we've really got pieces to the project that could potentially be best models of best practice for other communities in Alaska and across the nation, which is what the innovation – wait, what is it?
Yes,
I-3 grant is all about
innovation and improvement.
Yeah, is all about is creating those models of best practice.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Any other questions on supports before we move to narrow our focus a little bit on evaluation supports? Okay, evaluation. Big question on everybody's mind, probably. How are we going to measure the impact of CRESL? And really, we want to measure the impacts of CRESL for a lot of different reasons. I mean, as I just mentioned, we'd ideally like this grant to come out with a best practice model or some best practice models. But really, you know, as we measure the impacts and we look at the implementation process, it's really going to be useful, or we'd like it to be useful, to districts as it's guiding this work and really guiding your overall work. I think that this can connect to many of the things that you have going on. And so the evaluation and the measurement that we're doing for this can really, I think, support and help with other things that are going on. And it really improves how we do the work right now. So as we think about this evaluation model of having some schools that are implementing, are in the first wave of implementation, the schools that are in the second wave of implementation, wow, we'll be learning a lot from this first wave of implementation that will then help us with the second wave of implementation. And then, like I said, telling the story, the measuring the impacts and the evaluation is really how we tell the story about the process. So our main tools for evaluation, a big piece of it is data and tools that you're already using. So attendance and looking at
proficiency
and suspension and expulsion and truancy data. So those things that you're already collecting. One thing that I think all of the partner districts are doing.
Except Heidelberg, it might be new, but a renewal maybe.
Of school climate and connectedness survey, okay. School climate and connectedness survey. One thing that might be a little new for districts is that because Cresswell is looking at grades, is looking at the whole developmental of SEL, so we are asking districts to use the little kids' SCCS as well. If it's not something that some districts are already using it, so that grade 3 through 5?
Yeah, now it's 3 through 5.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a briefer survey than SCCS for the older kids. It has
two scales on it. The two scales are SEL and Caring Others.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two scales on the little kids survey. Mm-hmm. For those of you, I know, Sean, you're already using the little kids survey. I know some of you are already using it, but for one or two of you, it may be it might be a new addition thing to think about. And if that's really stressful, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's the ideal, so we can be measuring the SEL.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that will be new to all districts is the DESA Mini, which is filled out by teachers. As teachers in the classroom are observing kids using their SEL skills, the DESA Mini is an assessment that teachers do. And as the name applies,
it is mini. We want to make it as not cumbersome as possible on teachers and districts. So it's mini. It is 8 questions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it is being used in Alaska, in Anchorage, with much success. Teachers are really finding the information they get from it, both on the individual student and on the classroom level, really helpful.
And I think a lot of you may have heard over the years Marcus speak from North Star.
North Star, right.
Yeah, and that's one of the tools that they've been using to gauge their change with SEL. And so so at least it's been piloted in Alaska, so it's shown to be a useful tool, and that's part of why we chose it, that it's brief. Teachers don't seem to mind taking, you know, using that tool, and it seems to be working in Alaska, so.
And they've got some good professional development around it.
Yeah.
So I think it will be easy for teachers to learn how to use it.
Yeah.
So we'll also be, as I already mentioned, we'll be tracking the implementation process, and then also really interested, of course, all of this goes towards continuous quality improvement, guiding the work right now and then guiding future work as well. So, opening up for questions about evaluation.
The evaluation tools, yeah.
Yeah, about the evaluation tools.
Questions?
This is Mary. I guess I'm always full of questions. We have been alternating years with the school climate connecting this data and the youth risk behavior survey, but I'm assuming now we're going to have to do this every year, or can we continue with our pattern of every other year?
I think you're going to want it every year because you're going to want to see the progress each year. I think it's going to so, yeah, I know you are an exception with that one, but I would say that really at least for the, yeah, for 3 years, thinking about doing it for three consecutive years. So.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to kind of clarify.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about you folks. Any other questions?
This is Lauren.
Yes.
We'd used it once in Southeast Island, it just didn't work for me because they wouldn't give data based on my small size because everything was small. But so, got 10, 12 kids in a school, they just wanted to lump it all as a district, and it didn't do me much good.
Yeah,
because in Heidelberg, it's 80 kids in the school, but am I really going to see data based on the class? You mentioned like that elementary one. Am I going to be able to break it down that tight, or is it just going to be a generic school-wide?
Do you know how many kids you have in just 3 to 5 grades off the top of your head? There's
well, that'd be different classrooms, 10 or so in each.
Yeah, so if you have, I think, 25 is the number. So if there's over 25 and you're 3 to 5, you should be able to see the little kids' data for elementary.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, under that number, and even with that number, we know in Alaska sometimes it can seem not confidential, So.
All right, thank you.
Someone else? Yeah, sure. Did someone else join? Maybe we lost someone. Okay.
So bad sign we're driving people away already.
Maybe they dropped out. So any other questions on the evaluation tools? Okay, cool.
Great, wonderful. So, of course, the big question is, what does...
For the evaluation, I know that the... Are you going to talk about school recruitment at some point?
No.
So, okay.
Well,
okay.
Just that we're going to do it.
Yeah. So just the other thing with the evaluation, and this is a piece that we're just trying to work through, is with the Department of Education and with our evaluators, is looking at really... I know that sometimes we want to choose certain schools because we think they're the most ready, and I totally get that because we want to set schools up for success. So we're trying to navigate how we do the school recruitment within each of your districts, and so we'll be talking to you about that more individually because it is really different. It looks so different in the multi-site districts than it does in Sitka or Nome. So, but we'll be talking more about that. But the idea is that we probably also, you all and we all, do not have the capacity to implement in all schools in the first year, and the idea is to have some comparison. And so there'll be some delay for some schools, and we'll just have to figure out what that looks like. And the evaluators think that they can do a one-year delay, so it'll be like first-year implementation, and then the other schools might implement in the second year or after if you want to wait longer. Because I've heard from some districts they, want to kind of get everyone on board pretty quickly, and then I've heard from some districts that they would like a little bit of a breather for like maybe move, have 2 years. So it doesn't matter when the delay group is starts, but I think there might be a one-year delay between some schools. And so we'll figure out what that looks like in districts because it really is different in each of your districts, so. And figuring out which schools, you may not want all schools to be considered for implementation in the first year because you may say that they really are just not in a good, Heidelberg, this is obviously, but you might say that maybe there's a school in your district, some things happen, they're not in a good place, you don't even want them to be in the pool, for the first year. So we'll talk about how to navigate that. And our job is to kind of be a buffer between the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, and all of the sites to balance the needs in each of the districts with the evaluation needs. So, questions about that? as much as I can answer in a vague way. All right, and we'll have more chance to talk about that individually, I think, too. So, okay.
Great, thanks, Lori. So, big question, of course, that's probably on all of our minds is timeline. And instead of looking at the overall timeline, because as we've really mentioned through the call, a lot of this we're still figuring out what does it look like now that we have the grant, what in reality, what is this going to look like? So, looking at that, the question of what does CRESL look like in this school year, since this is the school year we're in, and it just never ceases to amaze me that this is a Department of Education grant, and yet it's not set up with the funding years on
in the school.
So I just find a lot of irony in that, and it frustrates me if I don't laugh at it. So I'm laughing at it right now. So for what it looks like this spring 2016, we really will be focusing on recruitment. So sorting out that question of schools, who's going to be an implementation school, delayed implementation, really working with each district to be figuring that out. And then also recruiting leadership. So thinking about that question of who is going to be the person who we've been calling that person the champion, who's going to be the main contact at each district that is working closely with us. Also starting to think about, we know that that champion can't do it entirely themselves, and bringing a team into that planning at the district level. So be thinking about those kinds of questions. Who might be on the leadership team? We'll be really looking at district-specific plans for budgets and timelines. And indeed, that's our next step, is to start scheduling those conversations with districts. Partnership building, as we think about that red circle, and as we think about that circle in the community, so starting to build those partnerships, maybe getting some MOAs in place right now, if we're in a place to be able to do that. The beginning steps of planning. We know from other initiatives, other grants, that planning is a process, and jumping right into action plans is not the way, well, sometimes it works that way, but often that's not effective. So those beginning steps of planning, and Mary, your question of that SEL scan. So an SEL scan district-wide, an SEL scan in those schools that are going to be implementing in that first wave of implementation, so really focusing some time on that. And regular contact with the champion from the district, so setting up that routine of being in contact together and having those conversations as we're putting these foundational pieces in place so that we all feel like we have the information that we need to go forward and feel like we're a team in this going forward. Possible professional development, as we've mentioned several times, one of the exciting things about this is that while we have these steps outlined and these processes outlined, they're going to look different in each community. So some communities may be ready or interested or feel like initial professional development is part of that planning process. So that may be a possibility. And, exciting to dream that if we had champions identified, if each district had champions identified, maybe we could do something like a training of trainers and bring all the champions together late spring or early summer. That would be part of the conversations. It's like best timing, what really works for districts. And we know already that we are a team good at creative problem solving, as everybody filled in the doodle, and we had our two meetings that people could choose to join. So already I'm encouraged by our creative problem solving. So that is, as we think about our narrow timeline of what's most pressing for spring of 2016, this school year that we're finishing up right now. So questions about spring timeline.
Come on, Mary.
Spring activity.
Mary, yeah.
Well, okay, we have a question. Well, not so much a question, but, well, when you come in 2 weeks, will
yeah.
we have time to do some of the budgets and timelines then, or do we need to kind of plan for that?
No, we've got, we're already.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, well, asked and answered. But, yes, I mean, because we'll be there soon, we'll be in Sitka soon, Mary, we thought that either if we could, you know, whether it's a call or
yeah.
in person, that we'll be able to work those things out for sure.
You read our minds.
Yeah, actually, Heather and I were just talking about that beforehand. So. Other questions about the spring timeline from Carolyn or Sean or Lauren, Marilyn?
Yeah, I got caught up in doing something else. This is Sean. So when was there a chance that we could talk just to kind of looking forward with the, I guess, the budget and the kind of staffing?
Yes, that is exactly our – Sean, it's like I've paid you to
yeah.
set the transition for all of these.
Yeah. Too bad you're not coming up here next week with the rest of the crew that's coming up.
I know. That's what we were thinking about next week, but we knew that you might be involved with your strategic planning stuff next week, so
yeah.
we were going to give you a break and try for the week after.
I will be contacting each of you. I'll phone, and we can look at schedules and set up that call. Yeah, so it definitely works for you as we start exploring what does this look like.
Yeah.
So, and in those calls, Heather, what are the things that you think that the follow-up calls that are individualized, what are the things that we're going to try to thresh out together?
Budgets, for sure. Starting to look at some recruitment, having the conversation about recruiting both schools and champions. So, like, what are some of the things that the champion will be doing? What maybe are the skill sets? And we'll also be looking at timelines kind of in general. So really focusing on those foundational groundwork pieces, that infrastructure kind of, what's the grant infrastructure going to look like? Other questions about timeline, or I will just open it to questions in general now.
This is Marilyn. So I certainly appreciate being included in the call this morning, and my question would be, do I get to talk with you guys a little later about the whole picture on this thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. We'll be around here today, Marilyn, if you have some time. So.
Okay, very good. I will call you after this.
Okay, great.
Other questions about anything, except maybe not the meaning of life. Although I'm sure it has something to do with SEL skills.
Well, if there are no questions, thanks to Heather for giving us an overview, and thanks to everyone for joining the call. We thought, even though we know there's these other calls that are going to be more individualized, that it was helpful to, you know, just give some broad brush pieces that we were not repeating each time and that were streamlined. So, and it's great to just start to feel like, hey, we're part of this community and this project. So.
Right. I think, I've got to find a better adjective than exciting. One of the thrilling parts to me about this is being part of a statewide learning community that it just feels really good to have connections. So I do appreciate your willingness to be on the call as we launch that. How can we stay connected across the distance as a team, as a community? Yeah. So we have about 5 more minutes. And so just as our closing, interested in what are you most excited about for the project? So we heard all the voices at the beginning. So let's close out with all the voices. And you can just type in, tell us who you are and what you're excited about. I'm going to take that as everybody's thinking, not just things that people are excited about. I'm hopeful.
I'll, I'll go ahead and start off. This is Sean in Nome, because I got to catch a plane here in a few minutes. I'm really excited just to work with kind of the team again, continuing to work with AASB and Alaska ICE. We've had a really great partnership with the community engagement piece, and we've done some really great, amazing things. And this really complements it. And we focus a lot on academics, and we've been looking a lot this year at different programs, for SEL or PBIS, what I kind of grew up on. And it really kind of complements it, too. And I just, it's exciting kind of the team and the different districts involved. I hope Maryland gets to work with us, and I look forward to working with Mary in the future, too. We're just really excited. I think the big thing is just a couple questions coming up in the next month because we're going to be looking at staffing needs and everything and moving things around. By the end of this month, first, second week of February. And we have a really great staff member that's doing some huge things here already, and I think she would be perfect for this role. So.
Awesome. Great. And I've also planted some information with Jenny, so she has a couple things on her mind too, Sean. So that will probably add to the pot, and then we'll have a follow-up conversation. Great.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
And this is Mary, and I'm just going to tag off of Sean because our excitement is along the same lines of really the excitement about, first of all, thank you, Lori and Heather, for writing this grant and for including us in it. This is huge, and it's going to be huge for us, but also for the state. But just our excitement about partnering with everybody, and, I mean, just hearing the different voices on the line and where everybody is we're really happy to be here, and we're looking forward to the journey with everybody.
And I think the other piece for us is the opportunity to become efficient. Like, we're already spending quite a bit of resource in this area, but we just need a push. We need that push of coordination to line everything up and make sure we're doing it well. And then, our ongoing efforts won't necessarily take any more resource than we've been putting in already. We just need to coordinate and streamline.
All right, great.
This is Lauren Heidelberg. Mostly, all like a god to me, so anything Mary's into, I'll jump right on.
I'll keep that in mind, Lauren.
I've been thinking, and it kind of goes back to a little earlier, there was is my nervousness, and probably it's not a big surprise to many people that know Heidelberg, but my staff turnover, if I really try to keep working to have good staff, is I've got somebody great, but I don't know that I can keep hang on to him next year. And then, the disruption that causes when we start changing that the lead at the site on a regular basis. So that's my nervousness at the moment. And on that, if people in other – you guys probably know better than I do, but anybody that's well-versed in this stuff, I will have openings at the site. And I would be tickled to acquire somebody with a skill set that has an interest. So if you know people that are – moving around, shopping around, like to be in Southeast, I'm all ears.
Okay.
And one of my hopes, one of the things that I'm excited about with the project is the professional development and the common language. So that staffing issue, I think, is probably a challenge for us across the state. And I'm really hopeful that as SEL is infused into policies and routines and it becomes really a way of being in the district, that those norms get transferred and communicated and get lived by new staff. So I think this could be really useful with that staff transition that challenges us here. Yeah,
it's tough though.
It is.
Sure.
And that's something that we'll need to keep in mind in the project, is how do we accommodate that, knowing that that's going to face all of our districts, yeah. Thanks, Lauren. Carolyn, how about you?
Sure. It may be the nerd in me, but I appreciate the deliberate attempt of integrating what we already do, evaluating with the grant. It doesn't look like there's a lot of additional measurements that we that districts have to use, and I really sincerely appreciate that.
We did try. We did our advocacy work there, so there were some negotiations, but yeah.
And again, our goal is to make the new pieces useful.
Yeah.
I'm all for usefulness. Relevance.
And I just had, I'm sorry, this is Carolyn again. I thought of a question after the question slide. Sorry about that. But before you have the individual conferences, if you could send us some district-specific information like budgeting and some parameters, I think our initial meeting could be a little more productive with you. Just wanted to throw that one in.
Thanks, Carolyn.
That's a great idea, to get that information ahead of time so you have a chance to digest it and
work through it
and work through it and be in a place then to have conversation about it.
Marilyn, I know you're just listening, but do you want to add anything?
Well, I just have my fingers crossed that we can be a part of this whole thing. It would be very, very exciting for us. You know that we've worked with the ICE project for several years, and I think this would be a great next step, and just the whole idea of partnership I think is so absolutely vital for all of us. We just need to be in the work together, because otherwise in our districts we kind of feel like we're on an island or something like that. So
some of them are on island, right?
So thank you for inviting me to the party today, and I'll look forward to our next conversations.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. So last slide is just our contact information. I will be your main contact as the SEL coordinator. Lori is the director of Alaska ICE, and so she's involved in the project as well. I will be the main contact. So, and we just put our photos there since some of you we haven't met, and I look forward to when we get to see everybody in person. And also, I look forward to our continued contact by distance as well. So thanks very much, and I'm leading a Go Team hand thing here in Juneau. So
thanks, everyone.
Go Team.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later. Thank you.
We'll get this recorded out to you. Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Please stand.